Okay, we were beginning to attempt to unravel the mystery of Yoav. What was Yoav's crime, etc. Again, I'll briefly read the psukim just to get an overview. We'll begin to take apart the wording of the psukim a little bit later. But introductorily, we mentioned last week that there is a concept of Morad v'Malchus, which certainly is something that needs to be analyzed with regard to Yoav. And that many Mefarshim are Medayak from the Rambam, that the din of Morad v'Malchus allows the king discretion. The function of Morad v'Malchus is for the king to maintain control of the Melucha for the benefit of the of Klal Yisrael, and therefore he has the right and perhaps the responsibility to get rid of rebels, but in circumstances where, in his judgment, it's not such a good idea, he has the right to overlook it as well. The relevant lashon of the Rambam is Yesh Lamelech Rishus Lahargo. He has permission to kill him. And in the Sefer Mitzvahs, he says Ra'oi Umutter Lamelech Lahargo. Ra'oi indicates there is some kind of moral obligation. It's appropriate. Kimo Sheyirtze, as he desires. Again, indicating that there is some discretion and some rishus. Now, if you look at the pasuk very superficially, Yoav is depicted essentially as a murderer. It says, "V'gam ato yadata es asher asa li Yoav ben Tzruya." You know that which Yoav ben Tzruya did to me. Asher asa li shnei tzari tzivas Yisrael. He did to the two generals of Kal Yisrael, the Avner ben Ner la Masa ben Yeter. Avner ben Ner was the general of Shaul HaMelech, and when Shaul died and David became king, he was the leader of the opposition, so to speak. Yeah. David originally was only king in Yehuda, and Avner was rallying the rest of Kaisel behind Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul. Eventually, Avner accepted David as king and made peace with him, and it was at that point that Yoav killed him. But Masa ben Yeser was a person that David appointed as general after the rebellion of Avshalom. He killed them. He made blood of war in times of peace. And he put the blood of war in the belt around his waist. So if you take the pasuk very superficially, it would seem that Yoav was guilty of murder. He killed illegitimately. This is pasuk hey. Two generals, Avner and Amasa. One obvious problem with that is, if Yoav indeed was a murderer, there's a judicial system. So take him to Sanhedrin, get your witnesses, and have him executed. And this should have been done a long time ago. So what is the what's going on? So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that discusses this. There are different Mefarshim on the Gemara. There's a little bit of a machlokus how to understand that Gemara, but there's a dialogue taking place in that Gemara between Yoav and somebody else. According to some opinions, it was Sanhedrin, and Yoav was actually taken to Sanhedrin. He was judged on these cases, and he was acquitted. According to others, the discussion took place with Shlomo. But Yoav was acquitted on both charges. The Gemara says that regarding Avner ben Ner, Yoav was a Gol Hadam. Avner killed Yoav's brother. Now the story there was not so simple either. Yoav's brother was chasing after Avner. This was still at the time when they were rivals, and Yoav of course was supporting David HaMelech, and Avner was supporting Ishbosheth. So there might have been some legitimacy in Yoav's brother Amasa trying to attack Avner. Avner advised him to stay away. You come after me, I'm going to have to kill you. Amasa was no match for Avner. He persisted in chasing Avner, and Avner killed him. So Avner's taina was self-defense. It's true, I killed his brother in self-defense. Yoav said, self-defense allows you to use what I guess in modern terms would be minimal force. You could have protected yourself by injuring him. You didn't have to kill him. To which Avner's reply would be, but it was a tumult, you know, this war, the guy's attacking me, it's not so easy, you know, to figure out exactly what you could do. Yoav said when he killed him with one swipe of the sword between the fifth rib and the sixth rib, which apparently is the ideal place. I'm not a swordsman, I don't know how you do this stuff, but it's the ideal place to kill him in one perfect blow. So if you're enough control of the situation to be able to strike such a perfect blow, then you could have protected yourself by injuring him. Therefore, you were not justified in killing my brother, and I'm a Gal Adam, I have the right to kill Avner. So this was Avner's defense, and at least he was acquitted. And that doesn't mean that he was absolutely right, but there was, you know what it is. In order to convict him, it has to be beyond a doubt. So Yoav had a defense against the charge against Avner. In terms of the charge of against Amasa, Amasa had refused an order or ignored an order of David HaMelech. And Yoav said, therefore, Amasa was a Marad B'Malchus. And as a Marad B'Malchus, I had the right to kill him. That's a good question. There's several problems with that defense. By the way, first of all, the Gemara says that Yoav was wrong, because the order that David issued was not Alpi Torah, and therefore there's a halacha, and it's learned from a pasuk. It says Rak Chazak Lematz. This is said by Yehoshua, that we will listen to everything you say. Rak only Chazak Lematz. Every time it says Rak, it's a miut. What does it mean? Rak only Chazak Lematz. If you follow the Torah. So if your orders are consistent with the Torah, then we have to listen to you. Anybody who rebels against you is Chayim Misa, but Rak. But if not, then we don't have to listen to the king. So Amasa darshan the psukim correctly and was right in ignoring David's order. So he really was not a Marad B'Malchus, and therefore Yoav had no such excuse. The second problem I had, which is what you were just asking, is that Marad B'Malchus, the king has the right to kill him. Obviously the king has the right to issue orders to a subordinate to kill him, but it's the king's decision. Especially we learn like the Rambam that the king has discretion. So even if Amasa was a Marad B'Malchus, David can make the decision that it's not worthwhile to kill him for the sake of the country, just as he made that decision according to many opinions concerning Yoav himself. So if that's the case, you wouldn't really have the right to take the law into your own hands. There is a third issue in that particular sugya, and Tosis in Sanhedrin brings this up, and I think Tosis sort of pulls everything together. Tosis says that there was no hasra. In order to convict a person of Misa, you need Edim and hasra. There was no hasra, there was no warning. Now, there is a halacha that certain circumstances don't require hasra. Some say a rotzeach in general doesn't require, a murderer does not require hasra, a chaver, a talmud chacham, doesn't require hasra because he knows the punishment, he knows that it's the crime. But Tosa says in this case, Yoav did require hasra because he didn't know the crime, because he thought that he was a Marad B'Malchus, and therefore Yoav was a shogeg. So I think the answer really to the other question could also be the same thing. That Yoav may have thought that he had the right to kill somebody who is a Marad B'Malchus. At least it's enough of an excuse that he needs hasra. Somebody has to warn him and tell him, no, you don't have the right to take the law into your own hands. So Yoav got off on a Masa charge on the basis of being a shogeg, thinking that he had the right to kill him. Perhaps he didn't, because A, Amasa was not a Marad B'Malchus, and I would add B, even if he was, it's not Yoav's decision, it's David's decision. But he's not amazed. You can't nail him for murder. So if you can't nail him for murder, what was David nailing him for? Says Tosis, for being a Marad B'Malchus, because he knew that David did not want these people killed, and he killed them anyway. Why did Yoav do it? Was Yoav really such a rebel, such a murderer? Again, I refer you to the Chazal. We mentioned this earlier when we first met up with Yoav, that the Chazal tell us that when Yoav died, Klal Yisrael was like a midvar, it was like a desert. It was so desolate. The loss of Yoav was such a great loss to Klal Yisrael that they felt like they were in the desert, they were alone. Yoav really had tremendous milas and tremendous attributes. And the general consensus of the Mefarshim is that everything that Yoav did, his kavana, his conscious kavana was to preserve the malchus of Beis David. He felt that David HaMelech himself had weaknesses and was working in his own worst interests. To take Avner ben Ner as a general when Avner was really from the opposition is a bad deal. David is so eager to make peace, he's risking the whole Malucha, and he's going to have a person inside his cabinet who was against him. And therefore Yoav felt he was protecting David from himself. Similarly, when Amasa was appointed, Amasa botched the job and Kaisa was at risk. So he had to protect, so to speak, David from his own errors. Subconsciously, he had his negius. Perhaps he was threatened because these people were competition to him, potentially could displace him as general. Perhaps he had other reasons. In the case of Abner, maybe it's because he killed his brother. Maybe that was legitimately the reason why he wanted to kill him. But it may have distorted his judgment. We mentioned many times that person's biases and negios can distort your judgment. You could be convinced that you're doing the right thing, even though it's wrong. So Yoav, on his conscious level, thought that he was helping the Malucha. But his mistake is that it's not his position. He stepped out of his level, so to speak. Ultimately, the responsibility falls on the king himself. And if he's trying to help the king, contrary to the king's wishes, That's Marv Malchus. You know the joke they say about the, I don't know if they still do this today, the Boy Scouts had to do good deeds. So they asked the Boy Scout, what was your good deed for the day? So he says, well, me and Larry and Sam and Frank, we helped this old lady across the street. So they said, well, why did it take so many of you? Because she didn't want to go. So that is not preserving the Malucha. If the king doesn't want it, then it's Marad V'Malchus. If he was a Marad V'Malchus, why didn't David do anything about it? Perhaps simplest explanation, and we'll get into some other potential explanations as well later, but the simplest explanation was discretion. David HaMelech felt that Kaisel needed Yoav too much. They were dependent on him. He was still the best general around, and they had many wars to fight with their enemies. And therefore, the kingdom was better off having Yoav alive with his rebellious tendencies than having him dead. And since the king has such discretion, then he did not kill Yoav. Why then is he telling Shlomo to kill Yoav or to get rid of him? Or he's about to? Because he isn't needed anymore. That cheshbon is no longer applicable because the kingdom has been secured. There are others to step up and fill his place, such as Benayahu ben Yoyada. And therefore, that cheshbon that Klal Yisrael needs Yoav is no longer valid. And therefore, as a rebel, he should get what he deserves. So that means that David HaMelech never forgave Yoav for his crime. He merely deferred the punishment. I'm not punishing you now because we need you. But now that he's no longer needed, at least according to this explanation, then Shlomo was to take action. There is a significant problem with this approach. The significant problem is that it seems for many poskim, this rishus, this permission that a king has to kill a rebel, is not transferable. And is not inherited by the son. So if David himself were to kill Yoav, 20 years later, because he felt that now, according to his discretion, it was time to take action, so be it. But David is on his deathbed, and he's telling Shlomo to do it. And Shlomo cannot inherit the right to kill a Morid who was Morid against David, at least according to many poskim. So they will have to come up with an alternative explanation as to what's going on. Yeah, but he's not. Nothing's going to happen. It's Shlomo who's doing it. Nothing's going
to. I'm aware of David. He's doing it.
That's true, but he's doing it after David HaMelech passes away. So he's not. He's the king. So let's go with some of the alternative explanations. Some Mefarshim learned that Yoav was against Tosis. Some Rishonim argue with Tosis and say that Yoav was not a Marad v'Malchus, and that Yoav's Cheshen Kavana, his attitude was correct. That if you are truly acting in the best interests of the throne to help the king, even if the king doesn't want you to do it, you're not a Marad v'Malchus. And they bring a proof to their position, and of course this too is subject to various interpretations, but we do find a third instance where Yoav killed somebody that David told him not to kill. Right, two of them are mentioned, Avner and Amasa. There is a third. The third one is Avshalom. Avshalom was the son of David who rebelled and almost took over the kingdom. And then in the battle to regain the throne, the famous story, Avshalom had long hair and he got stuck. He was trying to run away and his hair got stuck in the branches and he was hanging there. Somebody reported to Yoav what's going on and Yoav said, go kill him. And the person refuses. We ourselves heard with our own ears how David said not to kill him. And he wouldn't listen to Yoav, so Yoav went and did it himself. So he killed Avshalom, and when David heard about it, he was very upset. And David for Avshalom, we'll get to that a little bit later. There are, by the way, some opinions who do find a reference to Avshalom in this pasuk. We'll get to that later too. But these Rishonim learned there's no reference to Avshalom, so why wasn't that mentioned? So they say, you know why? Because in the case of Avshalom, Yoav was right. That Avshalom was a rebel against the throne, and he was dangerous, and David should really not have saved his life. David did it out of love for his son, or whatever it was. But keeping Avshalom alive would have been a strategic mistake. And therefore Yoav acted in the best interests of the Melucha, even though it was against the express orders of David HaMelech, and cannot be called a Marad v'Malchus. So then what was wrong with the killing of Avner and Amasa was not because he was a Marad v'Malchus, but because he was wrong. In other words, when he killed Avshalom, he was right. And therefore David couldn't cite the death of Avshalom in his argument. But when he killed Avner and Amasa, David was right. And Yoav was wrong. It really was better for the Melucha to have them. And therefore, Yoav can be held to a certain extent accountable. But he can't be called a Marad v'Malchus, because he was acting on behalf of the Melucha, not against the Melucha. Why then would he be killed? Because there was one thing he did that was a Marad v'Malchus. And that was he joined the rebellion of Adoniyahu. And that was an act of Marad v'Malchus. He didn't do that for the best interest of the throne. And therefore, he had a right, he deserved, or he could have been killed for that. This answers the question as well about passing on Marad v'Malchus to your son, because the rebellion of Adoniyahu was a merida against Shlomo too. So therefore, Shlomo didn't have to inherit the right to kill Yoav for that. He had the right on his own account, because this was a rebellion against the Melucha of Shlomo as well. Now, why then raises a problem? If it's the rebellion of Adoniyahu which makes him Marad v'Malchus, and Adoniyahu himself is not being killed, Hayitochein, the leader of the rebellion is going to be left alive, and his follower you're going to kill. That doesn't make sense. Now, eventually, Adoniyahu didn't survive either, but that was because of further actions. So this is the explanation that this is what David is saying, according to this opinion. This is the explanation that David is saying. David is saying, Adoniyahu, if you want to forgive him, that's your discretion. But I am telling you, don't forgive Yoav, because he killed already Avner ben Ner, and he killed Amasa. Technically, he's not Chayav Misa for those things, because he wasn't a Rotzeach, and maybe technically he wasn't a Marad v'Malchus, but that shows you how dangerous he is, because he's ready to kill anybody if he thinks it's the right thing to do for the Melucha, and he's not going to necessarily accept your judgment. So we mentioned before that part of the discretion of a king in determining whether he kills a rebel is how dangerous that rebel is. So that's how, according to this explanation, what David is saying, he's making an argument to demonstrate the dangerousness of Yoav, Yoav has many milas. Yoav is a great person, but he's too confident of his own judgment, and he's ready to act on his own judgment against the orders of the king, to the extent that he even killed two generals who were greater than he. So if that's the case, when such a person turns rebellious, he's extraordinarily dangerous, and therefore you have to make sure to get rid of him. So ultimately, his rebellion was joining Adoniyahu, but the reason why David is rehashing old stories is to demonstrate why he shouldn't go easy on Yoav, even though he's ready to go easy on Adoniyahu himself. So we have two explanations so far. We have the explanation of Tosus that Yoav was a Morad v'Malchus in the killing of Avner and Amasa, but David spared him because it was in the best interest of the country, but now it was no longer in the best interest of the country to spare him. We have other Rishonim who learn that he was not a Morad v'Malchus because he was acting on behalf of the king, but he was a Morad v'Malchus when he joined Adoniyahu. But the reason why David mentions those previous incidents was to demonstrate that Yoav is not somebody that you should pardon. The Abarbanel has a different interpretation. He's bothered by the fact that why didn't David do anything all these years if he was a Morad v'Malchus, and he isn't ready to accept the answer that it was needed for the country, because if it's okay for Shlomo to kill Yoav now, then presumably a year ago it would have been okay too. All the kingdom had already settled down, the rebellion of Hashem was quelled. David still had time to take care of Yoav before he died. And if he himself didn't want to do it, because perhaps it was too difficult, Yoav was too popular, it was too dangerous, whatever it is, to all of a sudden impose that on Shlomo, he says, it's a big thing to ask for a young new king stepping into a new throne, and he's supposed to go ahead and take care of something you yourself were afraid to do or weren't able to do. So the Abarbanel says that he didn't really tell Shlomo to kill him. He told Shlomo to keep your distance. He shouldn't be part of your cabinet, and keep a sharp eye on him. And if he steps out of line, then you should kill him. But he wasn't telling him, go ahead right away. Maybe you'll wait until you feel secure, until you feel in control. But I'm warning you, Yoav is a dangerous person. Look what he did to Avner, look what he did to Amasa, etc. So I'm trying to advise Shlomo to watch out for Yoav, not actually tell him to kill him. Other Mefarshim attack the Abarbanel, and we'll see when we get to the Psukim. It's really very, very difficult to read that interpretation into the Psukim, particularly Pasuk Vav, but that is what he says. Yes.
Maybe the king doesn't have a right to warn the successor, listen, there's a certain person who was a Morad v'Malchus, but I mean, I had tremendous trouble with him. He
can warn him, but he can't tell him kill him. Keep your eye on him if he does something. This, of course, answers the question of passing off to son too, because he's saying keep your eye on him, and if he does anything, steps out of line, don't give him too much leeway. So in the terms of the language of the pasuk, it's very difficult to read, because pasuk vav, which we didn't read yet, says v'lo sorid seivaso b'shalom sha'al. You shouldn't let his old age go down in peace to the grave. That sounds pretty much like a death sentence. Yeah, all right. Now, the Radak throws in a very interesting twist. The Radak seems to be learning as well that it was a din of Morad v'Malchus, but the Radak has an explanation as to why David didn't kill him, and he really goes on Pasuk Vav where it says V'asitza k'chok masecha. What the Radak says is that Yoav did a great deal of good. Yoav did many wonderful things for David HaMelech and for Kal Yisrael. The Gemara tells us that there was a great partnership between David HaMelech and Yoav. It says, if not for Yoav, they darshan it from a pasuk, David would not have been able to do Mishpat, learn Torah and do Mishpat. And if not for David's Torah and Mishpat, Yoav would not have been victorious in battle. It was the schus of David's learning his Torah and his Mishpat that made Yoav victorious, but it was the efforts of Yoav that enabled David to stay in the Beis Medrash and be able to do Tzedek v'Mishpat. So they had a tremendous relationship, and he was a tremendous asset for Klal Yisrael. And the I want to get the language here. Klomar, he said, Shelo Targeno Ad Shetim Solav Ilo, do not kill him until you find an excuse. Afa Bishu Chayev Misa, Ki Milchemes Hashem Nilcham, he fought the battles of Hashem, V'tovos Nimsubo, and there are many good things found in him. Ela Shahar Gledishnei Asarim, except that he had his problems. The implication of the Radak is that the reason why Yoav was not being killed was because there's an inyan of Hakar Satov. He has done so much for Klal Yisrael, he has done so many good things, so that Hakar Satov prevents us. If he was Chayav Misa, Al Pi Sanhedrin, Al Pi Din, there's no such discretion. Right? You can't say he's a good person, he did many good things, it's too bad. Mezen has no option to forgive, to commute a sentence. But since it was in the discretionary area, it was a marid b'malchus, then I'm mechuyah because of Hakaras HaTov not to take action against him. Which is an insight a little bit into the power of Hakaras HaTov. I feel that he's killed two innocent people. He's caused tremendous danger to the throne. He's dangerous to you, dangerous to me, but Hakaras HaTov, how can I do anything to him? Look what he did for us. Look at all the good that he has. So what bothers me a little bit is, okay, I understand why he didn't do it, but why are you doing it now? Now, again, one could perhaps say that the son doesn't have the same obligation as Hakaras HaTov, but maybe. But although we know that Hakaras HaTov goes down in generations. But he said, you should find an excuse. Ila means an excuse, not a reason. It doesn't say you find a tam. An excuse means something which really, between you and me, isn't a good enough reason. We wouldn't have done it. But because we have our own axe to grind, we already have we've made up our mind already, we're just looking for the excuse. So that sounds a little bit strange. Are you supposed to be Makat Tov to him? Aren't you? Like, what are you supposed to do? What? Yeah. Yeah. No, the correct thing is, I think that might be a mistake, because I think the Radak says either and both sides. Yeah. In fact, well, that's what Shmuel HaNavi told them when they asked for a king.
It's a discretionary thing with Karsa Tov and then an excuse, and this, the king has his own.
The king has phenomenal power. When Kaisel asked for a king, that's what Shmuel HaNavi told them. He says, you may be sorry, but a king has tremendous power and discretion, and yeah, you know, you may not be happy with the results. Well, that's because you're an American. You believe in the American system of government. The problem with checks and balances is that they check and balance. So it makes government very ineffective. Now, history has sort of taught us the lesson that we perhaps prefer an ineffective government. The damage done by an ineffective government is not as bad as the damage done an effective government is run by the wrong people. But the best aid is an effective government run by the right people. And that's, and the truth is, Kaisel suffers from this. When you had David HaMelech, okay, not bad. But when you had Menashe, or you had others, it was very difficult. What are we going to do when Mashiach comes? Are we going to have checks and balances? I don't know. We'll have to see. If we come and make any takanas, we'll have to see. But the fact of the matter is, yes, a king who abuses the power of the king could be very, very dangerous. The So where were we? So the question is, well, how does an excuse help? I'm not really sure the answer to that. The best I could think of, and I'm not sure if this is true or not, but it could be perhaps that when you're acting in response to an immediate action, to an immediate stimulus, so to speak, then it isn't such a violation of Hakaras HaTov. It's almost like a little bit of self-defense. If he did something wrong and I'm responding right now, if I'm going to go back to what he did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, so you're going back to his whole life history, what about all the good things that he did? So how come you're looking at the bad and you're not looking at the good? So that would be a violation of Hakaras HaTov. But if he's doing it right now, I'm responding to what he just did, so then, there could be perhaps a mitigation of the requirement of Hakaras HaTov and when able Shlomo to take action. Alright, let's take a look now at the particulars and the specifics of the Pesukim. So we have a couple of different interpretations. Everything in the end revolves around Morad V'Malchus. It's pretty clear you can't really make sense out of these Pesukim in any other way, but the issues are, how do you balance the various considerations? So the simple pshat would be David didn't kill him because it was not prudent for the country, it was not beneficial for the country, but now that it is beneficial to the country, so the green light is given to Shlomo. The Radak's variation was that David had Hakaras HaTov, and for some reason we are able to get around that through Shlomo finding an Elah to kill him later, an excuse to kill him later. The Abarbanel says he never really told him to kill him, just to watch out for him. And others say that he told him to kill him for the rebellion of Adoniyahu, and he cited the previous history just to demonstrate how dangerous Yoav was. But let's take a look now at the particulars of the Pasuk and what exactly David said to Shlomo. Pasuk begins with the word Vigam, and also connects to what? As opposed to what? So the Metzudas, I'm sorry, before I do the Metzudas, the Radak says Vigam connects to the previous Pesukim. David just told Shlomo, I want you to follow in the ways of the Torah and keep the mitzvahs and the chukim, mishpatim, the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, Vigam, you should also know that part of what it means to follow the Torah is to oppose evil. V'yarta hara mikirbecha. To get rid of dangerous and evil people. That's also part of the Torah. You shouldn't think that this is some kind of selfish, self-serving act on the part of the king, you know, to protect myself or to be more powerful. This is part of the Torah's responsibility as well. And it has to be done with that motivation. I think we'll see a little bit later in the parak, perhaps certain indications how careful Shlomo was that everything he did do was done with the proper motivations in the proper way. The Metzudah says, the gam means, and also you know as well as I know. In other words, that these stories about Avner and Amasa were not news to Shlomo HaMelech. He knew about it already. And therefore David is saying, I don't have to give you a very long speech and tell you the whole story. It is sufficient to remind you, Bekitzer, of what had happened, but you know as well as I do the various crimes that Yoav has done and the danger that he poses, and therefore you should follow my tzava and do what I tell you to do. Right, let's squeeze in just one a little bit at least in the next phrase. That which Yoav did to me. David is making this very personal. Yoav did this to me. He didn't do it to him, he did it to Avner and Amasa. What did he do to David? So some of the Mefarshim explain that it is he was endangering David by killing people that David had basically made peace with or had appointed to high positions. Will make people feel that you can't trust David. Here Avner makes peace with David, Amasa's appointed general, and David's right-hand man, Yoav, goes and kills him. You know, we always have these conspiracy theorists. You know, whatever happens, somebody figures out some kind of conspiracy. So you can imagine what kind of field day the conspiracy theorists would have with this. That, oh yeah, right. David knew nothing about this. David was very upset. You know, when Avner was killed, Amasa was killed. It was Yoav, his buddy, that did it. On top of that, he didn't do anything to Yoav, did he? Right? Yoav isn't being punished. So what you have done is you've undermined David. So this wasn't simply a crime against Avner and Amasa. It was a crime against me, says David. This certainly fits into the opinions of rebellion. But even without the Magna Malchus, it shows that Lamaisa, Yoav acted against me. Technically, maybe he thought he was helping the kingdom, but he hurt me, and he will do the same to you. Rashi brings the Medrash Tanchuma. It's a fascinating Medrash when we put it in its proper context. Rashi says that Asali was referring to a crime that Yoav did personally against David. What was that? We know the incident of Bathsheba, that David had relations with Bathsheba, who was married or previously married, whoever it may be, to Uriah. Uriah came home, was summoned home by David. David told him to go home. He wouldn't go home. He made some comment which was disrespectful to the king, and David sent him back to the front and sent a letter with instructions to Yoav that they should attack the wall of the city that they were surrounding, which of course is very dangerous, but put Uriah in the front line so that Uriah will hopefully get killed in battle. And that's what happened. Uriah was sent to storm the wall and he got killed in battle. The officers, the junior officers in Yoav's army, were very upset at Yoav. They of course knew nothing about the letter. He says, how could you take such a foolish risk? How could you attack a wall in broad daylight and send one of our best captains out there to lead the charge, and you're responsible for his death? It was a bad battlefield decision. And they were giving Yoav a hard time. And according to the Lashon of the Medrash, they were threatening Yoav. They wanted to kill Yoav. So Yoav showed them the letter that he has from David HaMelech. He says, don't blame me. I was following orders from the king. As a result of that, David's sin became known, and it caused tremendous humiliation and embarrassment to David. And the Gemara tells a story that David walked into the Beis Medrash, and they saw him, and they asked him, a person who is Baal and Ashes Ish, Yesh Tal Chelek, Baalim Haba, Ein Lo Chelek, Baalim Haba. So they were, trying to stick it to David. So David answered, Baal Eishes Ish is Yeshel Chelet Baalim Haba, but Amalvim Pnei Chaver Barabim is Ein Lo Chelet Baalim Haba. But the fact of the matter is, so therefore David is Tovea Yoav for what he did to me. Now think about it, Yoav was not exactly in an easy situation. Here he's in the middle of the battlefield, his own officers, his captains and majors and lieutenants, whoever they were, are basically mutinying against him, and they're very angry at him, they're threatening him. But if Yoav really cared about David, he would not have showed the letter. He would have toughed it out, somehow appeased them, whatever it is, he would have managed. And his failure to manage, his failure to resist that pressure, David counts that as a crime against me, and it's up there with the others. It's listed in the pasuk together with the killing of Avner and the killing of Amasa, and these are, and it's, and according to the Tanchuma, that means he's not talking about the killing of Avshalom. This is worse than the killing of Avshalom. He killed Avshalom. That's also absolutely. Some people do say that's what he means, but the Tanchuma doesn't. So that means this is worse than the killing of Avshalom. It's on a reasonably equal level to the killing of Avner and Amasa, at least deserves to be hinted to in the same part. Maybe it's a little bit less, but it's in the same ballpark. That's because, that's your responsibility to another person, to your friend, to your mentor. You don't reveal his confidence. You don't betray his trust, even when he did something wrong, and even when you're trying to save your own neck. And that is considered a significant taina against Yoav.